Off the Ball, GAA.
But with the new rules, you feel like you don't understand the game anymore to an extent, in that, you know, these 8, 10, 12 point leads do not mean anything like what they used to before.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite. A bite-sized serving of Ireland's breakfast sports show.
All right, to last night's Champions League action. Arsenal are down but not out as Paris Saint-Germain lead 1-0 at half-time in their Champions League semi-final. Lars Sivertsen's with us. Lars, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys?
It's not over at all, really, for Arsenal. Like, and maybe they'll be better away from home.
Yeah, no, I think that's a big takeaway from this game if you're an Arsenal fan. I mean, I'm guessing we have more Arsenal fans than PSG fans listening. Just a shot in the dark from me there, but I suspect that's the case. Then what you take away from this is that this is a game that easily could have been quite a bit worse, I thought. I mean, in the first 20 minutes, half an hour, PSG were very good and kind of created a lot of good openings, and I was sat there watching, thinking this could be out of sight here now. But Arsenal held on, and they were able to get themselves back into the game. I think Arteta made a couple of little tactical tweaks. They got more of a sense of control over the game, had a couple of chances of their own. But even so, as they were sort of trying to build some momentum for a push for an equalizer towards the end of the game, it was PSG again who had a couple of really good chances. So I think. The biggest takeaway from Arsenal, yeah, this is a game that very easily could have gotten away from them. They very easily could have gotten out of control. They very easily could have ended the tie. But instead, they managed to dig in. They managed to change some things. They managed to get a hold of the game. And it really, with the two very good saves Donnarumma made, you could argue that Arsenal deserved to have at least a goal here. And they go to Paris with a lead that is possible to overturn.
Lars, I remember some of the Fulham players recently, I think it was Danny Murphy and Damien Duff, talking about their 2010 Europa League final run. And they said the Shakhtar Donetsk side they played that season was the best of some of these players, some of these really, really good established players had ever seen. And I remember that team, and I'm looking at this Paris Saint-Germain team this season, and I see resemblances. But the one thing that they seem to have a weakness on is that they start like a train, and the train slows down a bit. A bit like the Cork Hurlers, I would say, in Ireland at the moment, is that they start very well, and then a team, if you hang in with them, you can peg them back. Definitely felt that way in the tie against Liverpool, definitely the tie against Aston Villa, and to a degree last night at the Emirates Stadium too, where Arsenal kind of flattered the deceit, but they did create opportunities. I understand that PSG had two big chances at the end of the game, but I look at, say, a player like Kvaratskhelia, Lars, who ripped Jurrien Timber apart at the start of the game last night, but then he kind of fades away a bit, and maybe that is the one area that Arsenal can get at PSG in the second leg. If they hang in there, they have a chance.
Yeah, possibly. I wonder if there's also an element of just having to manage your energy there, because the sort of very high in your face, just go straight at them, sort of press. Not sure any team can really do that for a full 90 minutes, because there are limits to sort of the physiology of the players. That's one thing. But I actually think, like, with Kvaratskhelia, yeah, he wasn't as impactful in an attacking move, in attacking sense, in the second half. But I remember watching him in the second half at one point being basically by his own corner flag, hustling for the ball. And I do remember thinking that this is the difference between this PSG team and the team they've had the last, you know, several years before, when they had that sort of tasty but slightly ridiculous front line of Neymar, Messi and Mbappe. None of those were battling for the ball down by their own corner flags, like, ever. Like, they hardly even go into their own half. And they do have, like, runners and people who are willing to work across the board, and I think you also just gotta not forget that Arsenal are a very good team. Like, they've conceded the fewest goals in the Premier League this season. Slightly disappointing that they've not gotten closer to Liverpool, of course, but you forget that defensively they're one of the best teams in Europe, and they can hang on with PSG. One thing that would again give me a little bit of hope as well is that PSG, they do lack a sort of obvious out-and-out goal scorer. I mean, Dembele has gone on this mad goal-scoring run in the second half of the season. Dried up a bit in recent week, but he scored one here. But between him and Kvaratskhelia and Doué or Barcola, whoever starts as the third, all of those can score goals, but none of them are like Erling Haaland. None of them's Mo Salah. None of them is the kind of player who you know will score. So they can fire blanks in front of goal. I mean, they lost to Rennes in the league at the weekend on Friday, losing their sort of unbeaten run in the league. And I think they had 32 shots in that game, but still lost because they do occasionally have those games in front of goal. And that's something, again, I would be holding on to if I was an Arsenal fan. The downside for Arsenal is what PSG have a lot of is speed, right? So it's not fun being behind against them and knowing that you have to push up and attack, because you do leave yourself open for Dembele, Doué, Kvaratskhelia, all of these guys to run at you, and there's a lot of speed in this game. So it's an awkward situation, but it's not impossible.
This week on Diverted.
I was always around football. I used to carry the players' boots. I remember when my grandfather would bring the Brazilian players and I would wash their boots and everything. So it's definitely, football is built and stored in my DNA.
In episode 6, we're going to Central America and we'll be taking you to a Belizean Premier League game. We'll be visiting the basketball-obsessed highlands of Guatemala.
You need to have a name model that people support. Like, for instance, basketball, you have LeBron James. It starts like that. You have to find good players so that you can sell it to the public so they can come out and support.
And we will experience firsthand the 2 minutes and 58 seconds where it looked like Costa Rica were going to qualify for the knockout stages of the 2022 World Cup.
I am once again embracing my new brothers.
What are you doing?
Creating chaos.
Diverted. Coming every Tuesday to your podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 8:32 this morning. You're watching Off the Ball Breakfast. We are broadcasting live on YouTube. You can also listen to us on the Off the Ball app. And a reminder, of course, that Leinster versus Northampton Saints is live from the Aviva at 5:30 on Off the Ball on News Talk on Saturday afternoon, with Andy Dunn alongside Cúna Flaherty on commentary. Delighted to say we've got Matt Dawson with us to help preview the game. Matt, good morning to you. How are you?
Yes, pretty good, thanks, guys. Pretty good. Looking forward to the weekend for sure.
Yeah. What level of expectation do you have that Northampton are going to put in a performance? Because they nearly won this game last year.
Yeah, it was a belter of a game. And I think ordinarily I would be relatively chipper. But having seen what Leinster have done over the past couple of rounds, I think most teams are really going to struggle in Ireland at the moment playing against Leinster. So I'm expecting something a little bit different from Northampton. I know that probably sounds a little bit strange because they do play an expansive razzle dazzle type of game, but they've bulked up somewhat since last year. But I think Northampton are going to have to bring something very, very different to overcome who are probably the favourites for the tournament.
Hiya, Matt. When you say something different, do you mean like almost carry on like they did last year? Because it was only 3 points in it in the semi-final last year. I think they gave Leinster a good head start, but it finished 2017. So it's like, well, a bit more of that. But of course, there's some huge figures missing from Northampton this time around, like Lewis Ludlam, like Courtney Laws. And Leinster have strengthened since this time last year. So it feels like a daunting enough prospect from the Northampton perspective. But is there a way for you that's something different? Would that be enough to beat Leinster, do you think?
I mean, you've got to sort of turn over every stone and find something in your locker as an individual and as a squad when you're going up against the best teams in the world. And some of it might be new. Some of it might be some, you know, quirky line out moves that they haven't used yet and they've been practicing for the last couple of weeks. It might be a slightly different territory game or kicking game. It might be, you know, Mitchell with loads of tap penalties and even increase the speed of the game that Northampton play, trying to increase it even more. That they no doubt will have studied Leinster as much as they possibly can to think, well, there aren't many weaknesses in their game, but potentially could we exploit this part of Leinster? And you know, it might give them an opportunity. And I guess that's probably the best that you're looking for, is an opportunity. Mm. It's up to then at the time. You've got to take those opportunities and then see what that does to Leinster, because, you know, Leinster don't go behind, do they, really? They don't. They don't. Certainly over the last couple of rounds, they've not been put under any kind of pressure because the teams haven't been good enough. So what are Leinster going to be like in a knockout competition when they're 3 points down, 7 points down?
Yeah.
Possibly 10 points down, you're going to, you know, your mind does some pretty weird things to you under that sort of pressure.
To listen to this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast in full, become a member at offtheball.com/join now.